Welcome to the Shiur Ramban Parshas Chayisara. Wanted to start with the first Ramban on the Sedra, where the Ramban deals with a Rashi which is very, very famous. And anyway, most people think it's famous. If you're not sure that it's famous, after today it will be famous. And the Ramban gives a somewhat different interpretation in that Rashi, which is than that which is normally given. So I just want to spend a little time first with that, and then to start on a longer Ramban that goes through a little bit of the travelogue of Avraham Avinu and tries to figure out what his address was at various different times during the stories that are related in Parshas Bereishis. So the Parsha starts off, Vayu Chayei Sara, Mea Shana, Ve'esrim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sara. Sara Imenu lived for 127 years. The way that is presented in the pasuk, she lived for 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Those were the years of the life of Sara. So Rashi comments, L'chach nichtav shana b'chol klal u'klal. You know, it's a little bit of an unusual way of writing that she lived for 127 years, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Why does it repeat shana? L'omer l'chol shekol echad nidrash la'atzmos, to tell us, says Rashi, that each piece of the description of her life is part of a drasha, that is to say, bas kuf ke bas kaf l'cheit, when she was 100 years old, she was like she was 20 years old in terms of how pure and innocent she was. Ma bas kaf lo chata she'ena bas on shenaf bas kuf below cheit. In other words, up until the age of 20, one can't be punished in the heavenly court for whatever one did, so she was blameless up until the age of 20. Similarly, she was blameless at the age of 100. Ubas chav kebas zayin liyofi, and similarly, when she was 20, she had the beauty associated with a 7-year-old girl. Right? It's interesting that some of Farshim will actually switch, you know, the description. I mean, 7-year-olds are not necessarily renowned for their beauty. 20-year-olds are not necessarily renowned automatically for their blamelessness. You know, so some want to suggest that she was as beautiful at 100 that she was at 20, and she was as guiltless at 20 as she was at 7. But that's not our reading in Rashi. So what does it mean that she was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7? If you walk over to a 20-year-old young woman and you say, you know, you're as beautiful as a 7-year-old, right? It's probably not a compliment. Probably punch you. Right? So, punch you in a way that's consistent with the halachas, of course. What does that mean? So I think just on a simple level, what it means is that, you know, all babies are cute. All little kids have a certain charm about them, you know, even when they're misbehaving. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam gives all little children a certain kind of charm to make sure that their parents don't give them away, based on the way that they behave during their childhood, you know, so they have a certain charm that, is attractive no matter what. So she was beautiful. She had that charm, that automatic kind of beauty and likableness at the age of 20 that is normally associated with a little girl of the age of 7. Be that as it may, that's Rashi's famous interpretation. And then Rashi adds a few words when the pasuk says, Shnei Chayei Sara. These are the years of the life of Sarah, which is a seemingly extraneous phrase in the pasuk. Rashi writes, "Kulan shavin l'tova." They were all equal in goodness. And here, many of the later mefarshim on Rashi question, "What do you mean, kulan shavin l'tova? That all of the years of Sarah Imenu's life were all good and wonderful and all equally great?" This is a woman who was barren for most of her life. This is a woman who was abducted, not just once, but twice, by rulers of foreign countries and tried to be impressed into their harems. This is a woman who struggled because of her issues with infertility, with back and forth, with Hagar. This is a woman who had issues with Yishmael. This is a woman whose son Yitzchak was ultimately brought up by her husband and almost slaughtered. You know, to say Kulan Shavin Latova, that her life was just like a bowl of cherries, just one happy simcha after another, just doesn't seem to fit the evidence that we know characterized her life. So there's a lot of ink spilled in trying to understand this Rashi, Kulam Shavin Latova. When we go through the Ramban, although the Ramban doesn't address this Rashi directly, I think through reading the Ramban, we will see what is probably the simplest explanation of this Rashi, and although it dispels many of the drushes, you know, the beautiful drushes that have been made on this Rashi, okay, but on the level of Pshat, it probably gives the most obvious interpretation. The Ramban quotes the first Rashi, and he writes, "V'ein midrasho zeh nachon." This whole Rashi that explains that, you know, it says shana, 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 she was, you know, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. That's to say that when she was 100, she was like she was 20. When she was 20, she was like she was 7. The whole medrash is not correct, says the Ramban. That's it. Why is it not correct? Shrei b'shnei chaya Yishmael, ne'mar k'shnei chaya Avram, b'shalva. Because if you read the end of Parshas Chayei Sara, it uses the exact same terminology in describing Yishmael. Perchavhei pasuk yitzayin ve'ela shnei chaya Yishmael. These are the years of the life of Yishmael. Ma'at shana u'shloshim shana v'sheva shanim. He even made an extra 10. He lived an extra 10 years, 100 years and 30 years and 7 years. So, you know, all his drushes we want to say about Sarah, you're going to say the same thing about Yishmael. That's not true. V'lo hayu shavin b'tova. Yishmael's years were not equally righteous. Aval haya mitchila rasha v'asa tshuva basof. Although Chazal say that Yishmael ultimately did tshuva, that was at the end of his life, for much of his life, maybe most of his life. Yishmael was a rasha. He was driven out of the house of Avraham Avinu. So how can you start making the same drushas about Yishmael that you're going to make you're not going to be able to make the same drushas about Yishmael that you're able to make about Sarah Imenu. V'od kishona shona l'chalek mashma v'einenu nidrash l'hashvosa. Furthermore, the whole implication of, you know, the usage of the word shana multiple times, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years, on the surface is to distinguish between the 100 years, the 20 years, and the 7 years. In other words, the use of the word shana breaks up the connection between the three things. And according to Rashi's interpretation, the word shana is the way of linking the three numbers together. So it just conceptually doesn't make sense either. Aval shana shana v'shanim derech hakosavu, right? The notion that it just says 100 years and 20 years and 7 years, that's just the Hebrew idiom. Don't get too hung up on that. Okay, and that's why it says it by Yishmael. Okay, but now the Ramban has a problem, because although Rashi, you know, may have formulated this concept in his own unique way, namely the concept that Sarah was, you know, at the age of 100, she was like she was 20. When she was 20, she was like she was 7. That concept wasn't Rashi's invention. That's a concept from Chazal. That's a medrash. The medrash says, bas kuf ke bas chof. So, Ramban, are you rejecting the medrash? Now, it wouldn't be utterly beyond belief if the Ramban did. Again, the Ramban, like many of the Rishonim, did not have a problem, you know, saying a pshat in a pasuk that was different than the midrashim of Chazal. But for him to dismiss out of hand a medrash of Chazal seems out of character. So he goes on to say, no, I accept the medrash of Chazal. Rashi misunderstood Chazal. How so? So he writes, Masha amru b'beishis rabba bas mea ke bas estrim l'cheit. When Chazal say that when she was 100, she was like 20 with regard to her guiltlessness, lo dar shukein elo miyitur haloshon, shechazar v'oma shnei chayei sara, shekololon v'hishva osam. The drasha of Chazal, that she was at 100 like she was 20, when she was 20 she was like she was 7, doesn't come from shana, shana, shana. Rashi misunderstood that part. The idea is the same. But the Ramban is saying the drasha comes from shnei chayei sara, this extra phrase that appears at the end of the pasuk, the years of the life of Sarah, it's an extraneous phrase. The point of that phrase is to link the three numbers that are mentioned in the pasuk, 120 and 7. Shana, if anything, as the Ramban says, doesn't link them, but rather it distinguishes between the three. So for Chazal to link 100 to 20, 20 to 7, is a function of the phrase Shnei Chaye Sara, right, which essentially says you should take the opportunity to link these three together. Since there is no corresponding phrase Shnei Chaye Yishmael, when Yishmael's lifespan is discussed, so therefore this drasha, you know, which is unique to Sarah, can't be made in the case of Yishmael. Now, that's all the Ramban says. The Ramban made one comment, which maybe you caught as we were going through, which goes back to address one of the issues we said before. So in other words, according to the Ramban, you know, the key phrase over here is Shnei Chaye Sarah. And Shnei Chaye Sarah, as interpreted by Rashi, again, quoting Chazal, is Kulon Shavin Latova. They're all equal Latova. What's Latova? So again, many interpret Rashi to mean that the events that took place in Sarah's life were all good. But again, it's clear that that's just not factually correct. So what does Kulon Shavin Latova mean? So it's clear from Rashi that Kulon Shavin Latova is a phrase that means she was equally righteous throughout the entirety of her life. She was good. Not what happened to her was good. She was good. She was a righteous person throughout the entirety of her life. And in fact, that's why the Ramban says the phrase Shnei Chaye Sarah is ultimately the source for the notion that she was as guiltless at 100 as she was at 20. In other words, she was at tzaddikas her entire life. What's that? Okay, so, you know, even the biggest tzaddikim, you know, you're allowed a bad day, right? But fundamentally speaking, in other words, you know, sorry, you know, she's a tzaddikus. Okay, so okay, yeah, you found, you know, one thing that she did, which is open to criticism. I mean, you know, the truth is the Ramban himself criticizes Sarah for driving out Hagar the first time around. Chata imenu, right? Be'inu is there when she, you know, leaned too hard on Hagar and ultimately drove her out. You know, so that says the Ramban was a mistake on the part of Sarah. Okay, you know, even if Sadekis is allowed, Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes also, right? Didn't make inheritance itself, but yeah, on a fundamental level, she was a righteous person. How do we see this in the Ramban? Because when the Ramban speaks about Yishmael, he says that with regard to Yishmael, lo hayu shavin betova, the years of Yishmael's life were not equal in goodness, because originally he was a Rasha and only did Shuvah at the end of his life. So the Ramban understands the phrase Shavin Latova as a description not of the events that befell the person, but rather of the righteousness of the person during the course of his or her life. That's, and again, if you go back in Rashi, you know, it can be read in Rashi as well. That's probably the simple pshat in Rashi. Kulon Shavin Latova, just underscoring the same idea that Sarah throughout her life was an unchanged tzaddikus. Okay, here and there a little blip on the screen, but fundamentally, you know, she didn't undergo this period where she, you know, left the derech and became a baalas tshuva. She was with the program, you know, from the beginning to the very end. That answers all these kashas, you know, and takes away many of the drushas about how all of her years, some people say, you know, it's all a matter of how you view your life. If you view your life in a good way, in a positive way, you can, you know, all your years can be good and wonderful, even if terrible things happen. I mean, that's a beautiful lesson. It's beautiful, and it's true, and it's right, but it's not the pshat, you know, in this Rashi of Kulon Shavin Latova. Okay, so that, just wanted to start off with that Ramban, you know, who sheds some new light on a Rashi which is very, very familiar to us. In the second pasuk in the Sedra, Sarah Imenu passes away. Vayavo Avraham lispa v'sara v'livkosa. Avraham came to eulogize Sarah and to cry over her. So the lashon, the turn of phrase Vayavo Avraham came, suggests that he was somewhere else. And indeed, Rashi writes that Avraham came mi be'er sheva. He was in Be'er Sheva. Sarah passed away in Hebron, as the pasuk says. So Avraham Avinu went north, you know, from Beersheba to Hebron in order to attend to Sarah's funeral. That begs the bigger question. What was Avraham Avinu doing in Beersheba? His wife's in Hebron, he's in Beersheba. You know, that's an unusual, it's a commuting relationship. Like, how did that work exactly? So this prompts the Ramban to get into a whole discussion about where at any given time was Avraham Avinu. And we'll go through it. And again, it's a classic example of how the Ramban is just trying to work out the Psukim and the Midrashim and really just trying to put everything together and giving multiple ways of understanding what's going on over here. So first of all, he quotes Rashi. Avram came from Beersheba. The aims the lomash shahaya omed sham mimashe kostu vayeshev Avram be Beersheba. Now, the simple pshat in Rashi sounds like that Avram Avinu has been in Beersheba since the end of Parshas Vayera. What happened at the end of Parshas Vayera? We had the Akedah, and Avram Avinu, after the Akedah, it says vayeshev Avram be Beersheba. So he's been dwelling in Beersheba. So it sounds like he was in Beersheba and he kind of left Sarah in Hebron, right? That's not that can't be. Ki eich tiye Sarah b'Hebron. If Avraham Avinu was permanently in Beersheba and Sarah Imenu was permanently in Hebron, that just doesn't make any sense. It's worthwhile underscoring this Rambam because there are marriages in 2019. That don't understand what the Ramban is saying over here. Okay, so, you know, okay, what's the problem? So my husband lives in Beersheba, and I live in Hebron. I knew one such marriage going back years where, you know, he lived in L.A., she lived in New York. And nobody seemed to have a problem with that. I mean, again, depending on the marriage, it may be a good recipe for Shalom Bayis, that's true. But, you know, you see from the Ramban, it's worthwhile underscoring that the Ramban can't imagine that a husband and wife would be living in two different places on a permanent basis. It's just, you know, the Ramban can't imagine such a thing.
You can't imagine Avram and Sarah living.
Nah, I don't think it's just Avram and Sarah. In other words, the Ramban is saying, you know, the Ramban, if you read the Ramban from between the lines, the Ramban is essentially saying it just doesn't make sense to postulate with regard to anyone that, you know, he's not saying, well, Avram and Sarah couldn't have been living in two different places because they were such big tzaddikim, they had such a wonderful relationship. No, they're husband and wife. Husband and wife are supposed to live together. That's it, period.
Is there a midrash that Sarah died from the shock of
So Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to that.
Time for him to be there. She died, right? When he had to go.
Right. No, so we'll get to that, Be'ez Hashem. We'll see how the Ramban brings in that midrash and tries to put all the pieces together over here. Right? So first of all, the Ramban says it's inconceivable that a husband and wife could permanently be living in two different places. It's not possible that Avram's mailing address was Beersheba and her mailing address was Hebron. So let's knock that off the table. Right? The simple pshat, and now, right now the Ramban is not addressing the famous Medrash Chazal that Sarah Imenu died from the shock of hearing about the Akedah, right? But even leaving that on the side for the moment, the Ramban first postulates, you know where they lived? They lived in Hebron, right? Avraham Avinu had business to attend to in Beersheba for a day, so he left for Beersheba, and, you know, unfortunately, while he was away in Beersheba, that's points when Sarah Imenu passed away, so he came back to Hebron, Vayavo Avraham. He came back to Hebron from Beersheba in order to deal with what had happened. But what's that? Yeah. It's not close from Hebron to Beersheba. So in other words, it took him, you know, maybe a little bit of time to get from Beersheba to Hebron. The Lashon Rabbu Seinu Meharam Moriaba. Chazal say that Vayavo Avraham means he came from Haram HaMoria, in other words, where the Akedah had taken place. V'chein hu l'fi ameru shekotfo harav kishama ba'akeza oparcha nishmasa. And a similar interpretation would apply to that medrash which Rashi brings, right? That it's interesting, calls him harav, even though a few minutes ago he was basically saying that he misread a medrash, you know, and as respect and disagreement can go hand in hand, that's what you see from the Ramban. So the Ramban says, according to the famous medrash which Rashi brings, that Sari Imenu passed away from the shock of hearing about the Akedah. So Avraham Avinu, that fits in with the Maimer Chazal, where Chazal say that Avraham Avinu came straight from Har HaMoriah, you know, to Hebron when he heard about the news. It still doesn't tell us where Avraham Avinu was generally at that time, but it would seem to indicate that he was living in Hebron. Okay, but if he was living in Hebron, so what does it mean at the end of the Akedah, right, when it describes Vayeshev Avram Biver Shava, that Avram Avinu after the Akedah Vayokumu Vayelchu Yachtov El Ber Shava, they go back to Ber Sheva after the Akedah Vayeshev Avram Biver Shava, and he lived in Ber Sheva. What does that mean? I thought you're telling me he's in Chevron. So he writes Vanir Bakedah Shahoysar Sava Babu Er Sheva. It would appear that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram Avinu and told him to take Yitzchak and bring him to Har HaMoriah, or bring him to the place which I will show you, in other words, the commandment on the Akedah, it would appear that at that point in time Avram Avinu was living in Be'er Sheva. Why? Kisham HaYadar V'sham Chazar. He was living there at the time, as we'll see in a moment, and we certainly see in the Psukim that he went back to Be'er Sheva after the Akedah. Right, we just quoted that a minute ago. They went back to Be'er Sheva after the Akedah. How do we know that he was living in Be'er Sheva previously? Ki chein kosuv b'tchila, v'yita eshel b'Be'er Sheva, v'yikra shom b'shem Hashem kel olam. V'omar v'yogar Avram v'eres plishtim yomim rabim, v'hu gerusu b'Be'er Sheva, shuhu b'eres plishtim. Right, the story which immediately precedes the Akedah is the story of Avram Avinu going down to Gror, to the place of the Plishtim, again the modern day Gaza Strip, right? He's going down to that area, and it says that he dwelled, he made an Eshel in Be'er Sheva, again whatever the Eshel is exactly, or a tree, an inn, you know, whatever it is, but he made this Eshel in Be'er Sheva. And he dwelled in Be'er Sheva, and it also says that he lived in the Eretz Plishtim, the land of the Plishtim, for a long time. So all of that points to the fact that he lived in Be'er Sheva immediately prior to the Akedah, right? Because Be'er Sheva can be described as the land of the Plishtim. It's southern Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's a little bit further inland from the land of the Plishtim, but, you know, perhaps at that point in time, the Plishtim controlled what today is, you know, considered to be part of the Negev, in addition to Aza. So that's where he was living. Bisham Nistava Akedah. And the commandment to Avram Avinu about the Akedah came to him when he was in Be'er Sheva. And says the Ramban, and that fits in with another aspect of the story. Because how long does it take for Avram Avinu to travel to Har HaMoriah in the story of the Akedah? The pasuk says it was 3 days. Right? So he writes, that's why it took him 3 days to get from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim. She'eretz Plishtim rechokam Yerushalayim. Because, you know, from Azda, or from Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim, it's not so close. She'ilu Chevron behar Yehudahu. Chevron is a lot closer to Yerushalayim. Uveshuvo min ha'akeda le'Be'er Sheva chazar. Kamo she'nemar. Vayoshev Avram el Ne'orov, right? Lahorosh Nisakiv Shom Vayoshev Boshonim, right? So it would seem like he left from Be'er Sheva to the Akedah. That's why it took him 3 days to get to Har HaMoriah, right? In other words, the 3 days travel doesn't make as much sense if he was going from Hebron to Har HaMoriah, to Yerushalayim. It's a much closer travel time. And he goes back to Be'er Sheva afterwards. So in other words, he's in Be'er Sheva before and after the Akedah. So he writes, Im Kain, if that's all correct, Lo Meitza Sara Be'oso Zman, Ki Lo Hay Avram Dar Be'er Sheva V'Sara Dar Be'Chevra. The Ramban repeats what he said before. It's inconceivable that Avram and Sara had two different addresses. They lived in the same place, right? So if that's the case, before and after the Akedah, it seems Avram Avinu was living in Be'er Sheva. That's his permanent address. If Sarah died in Hebron, it means that Avram was living in Hebron. So that must be sometime significantly thereafter. In other words, you know, the property, the values went up in Be'er Sheva. They, you know, they decided to sell and move to central Israel. You know, they decided to move to Hebron. But that's happening sometime afterwards. And that's the Rambam says, that reading of the Psukim is not in accordance with that particular Maimer Chazal that says that Sarah died immediately after the Akedah, because again, around the Akedah, Avraham Avinu seems to be living in Be'er Sheva. Sarah dies in Hebron, and you know, she wouldn't have been in Hebron based on this reading of the Psukim. Now we'll come back to that, and again, the Rabban's going to work this out according to the to the Midrashic interpretation. But he's going to work through several different ways of understanding where the Avos, you know, where Avram and Sarah were at any given time. He continues, V'chei nire ki Yitzchak nolad b'Be'er Sheva. Based on this understanding that, you know, all of these events at the end of Vayera are taking place when Avram Avinu was living in Be'er Sheva, it seems like Yitzchak was born in Be'er Sheva. Why? Because it says, Vayisa Misham Avram Arsa Negev Vayesh Ben Kadesh Ben Shur Vayago Bigrar. Right? Avram Avinu, before Yitzchak is born, goes to Avimelech in the land of the Plishtim. After the, you know, after the events that take place with Avimelech, Avimelech tells Avram, Hine arsi lefonecho batov beinecho shev, go live wherever you want in the Eretz Plishtim. And Avram Avinu is in Be'er Sheva when Avimelech and Pichol go to visit Avram Avinu, and they make the covenant as described there in the Psukim. So the covenant is made in Be'er Sheva, Vayichris to Bris Be'er Sheva, and it would appear as, and so Avram Avinu is there during that whole period of time. If Yitzchak is born, it sounds like he's adjacent, he's still in Be'er Sheva, adjacent to the land of the Plishtim. It also stands to reason that Yitzchak's birth is in Be'er Sheva, because soon after Yitzchak's birth, Hagar is driven out. And where does Hagar go after she's driven out? Vatelech vateisa v'midbar Be'er Sheva. She's wandering around in the desert around Be'er Sheva. Why is she wandering around in the desert around Be'er Sheva? Because they lived in Be'er Sheva. I mean, that's, that, you know, if they were in Hebron, it wouldn't make sense for them, for her to be wandering around Be'er Sheva. I mean, it would have been a very, very long way to go. What's that? I think the Pashat of Pshat is she wasn't told to go. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kach, you know, you should take, not Kichu, not both of you should take. The Tzivui from Hashem was dafka for Avraham Avinu to do it. Aval Achar Yomim Rabim Nostam Eres Plishtu Baruch Hevam Nifter Shamat Tzadekes, right? The whole story with the Ptira of Sarah happened much, much later, according to the simple pshat of the Pesukim, says the Ramban. In other words, they were in Be'er Sheva for many, many years, and you know, they relocated at some later point to Hebron, and it's only at that point that Sarah Imenu passed away. That's one mahalach, one approach in terms of understanding all of this. But as Hashem will pick up after Meiriv, the Ramban will work through other approaches to try to see, you know, where Avram and Sarah were at any given point in time. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzach HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos HaSkistral, Lefikach. Okay. Welcome to the second half of the Shia, the Ramban, Parashas Chayisara. Again, we saw the Ramban was talking about where Avram Avinu lived at any given time, and we saw that the Ramban develops the idea that the simple pshat of the Psukim seems to suggest that Avram and Sarah were living for an extended period of time in Be'er Sheva, that they were in Be'er Sheva basically from the time that Avram Avinu came to the land of the Plishtim, as described at the end of Parshas Vayera, this whole episode with Avimelech. Avimelech says, live wherever you want in my land. He lives in, they end up living in Be'er Sheva, which is broadly speaking in the land of the Plishtim. Yitzchak Avinu is born there. Hagar is driven out from Be'er Sheva. The Akedah, the call to the Akedah takes place in Be'er Sheva. Avram Avinu returns to Be'er Sheva after the Akedah. And Sarah Imenu dies in Hebron. What was she doing in Hebron? She was, she and Avram Avinu had moved to Hebron at some point much later on, and again that does not fit with the Maimer Chazal that says that Sarah Imenu passed away right after the Akedah. But again, the Ramban is interpreting this based on the Pashat of Pshat and the Pesukim. Then he writes as follows: Aval lefi amedrish tzrichim anu lomar ki Avraham v'Sara bizman ha'akeda hayu darim b'chevron v'sham nitzdava. According to the Medrash that says that the Ptira, the passing of Sarah Imenu, took place immediately after the Akedah, so Sarah was in Chevron, she died in Chevron. Again, we're assuming Avram and Sarah lived in the same place, that's a Dover Pasha, that's obvious. So it must be when Hashem came to Avram Avinu and told him to go to the Akedah, it must be that he was in Chevron. Okay, then we have other questions, going back to what the Ramban had raised earlier. So from Chevron to Hara Moriah isn't so far. So how come the Pesukim described how it took 3 days to get from Chevron to Hara Moriah? So says the Ramban, it must be kilo niglo lo hahar chemed elokim ad yom hashlishi. He made it to Yerushalayim in a day. It wasn't that far to go from Chevron to Yerushalayim. But as the Ramban puts it, v'hoyo b'shnei ayomim holech b'svive Yerushalayim. Basically, Avraham Avinu was wandering around the general area of Yerushalayim for 3 days before Hashem said, oh, by the way, that mountain that you passed 5 times already on the trip, yeah, that's the mountain. It didn't take 3 days, you know, fundamentally, to get from Hebron to Hara Moriah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dray Avraham Avinu around a little bit. Now, again, this interpretation sheds new light on the story of the Akedah. Part of the Nisayon of the Akedah, part of the test of the Akedah, now becomes, not only do I have no idea where I'm going, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in a way that to Avraham Avinu could very easily be interpreted as flippant. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring you from Chevron to Yerushalayim, and you'll make it there in a half a day. And for the next 2 days, you'll have no idea where you're going. And I'll only check in 2 days later and tell you, by the way, it's that mountain. So already at that point, and Avraham Avinu might have said, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm frustrated. Forget about it. You know, I'm not into these games. Right? So again, it's obviously that pales in comparison to the ultimate test of the Akedah. You know, people are willing to put up with frustration. You know, it's a far cry from having to sacrifice a child. But you know, the way to read the story, according to this reading, HaKadosh Baruch was basically throwing everything at Avraham Avinu just to see, you know, how he's going to react to everything. So then we have a question. Okay, so Avraham Avinu goes to the Akedah from Chevron. So why does he go back to Be'er Sheva? I mean, that's clear in the Pesukim. After the Akedah is over, he goes back to Be'er Sheva. So why was that? Avraham achar ha'akedah lo shav l'mekomo l'chevron. Avol holach chilo Be'er Sheva makom ha'eshol shelo losteis hoda'o al niso. This also paints a certain aspect of the Akedah in a very different light. Avraham Avinu really should have gone home after the Akedah. Where was home? Chevron. So he goes to Be'er Sheva. Why does he go to Be'er Sheva? Because Be'er Sheva was where he had planted this eshel. Again, whatever the eshel was, it was a tree, it was an inn, whatever it was exactly. But that was an appropriate place for Avraham Avinu to go to give thanks to Hashem for the nes, for the miracle which had happened to Avraham Avinu. What's the nes exactly? The miraculous intervention of Hashem preventing him from...
Would that be the appropriate place?
Oh, so it's very interesting, right? So why would that be the appropriate place? Why not go back to Hebron? Right? I mean, what, he didn't have a besmedrish in Hebron or something? So the Ramban is not clear on what the Eshel is, but if the Eshel is indeed an inn, it could be that Avraham Avinu thought that a place of Chesed is a sacred place. And that Avraham Avinu goes back to this place of Chesed after the Akedah to give thanks to Hashem, because to him that's the most obvious location to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, something, it's a detail, but if we're correct, it's a very fascinating detail in understanding one little aspect of the Akedah. You know, before going home, right, before going home, Avraham Avinu needs to stop off. And by the way, it's not an obvious place to stop off geographically, right? Again, according to this interpretation, he's going back from Yerushalayim to Chevron by way of Be'er Sheva. Now, I do know some people who drive that way. but it's not really an intuitive, you know, it's not on the way. It's before ways, right, you know. But it's not intuitive at all, and in fact it's very much out of the way to go from Yerushalayim to Be'er Sheva and then back to Hebron and the Harei Yehuda, right? But it's important enough to Avraham Avinu that that's the place that he wants to express his thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Is there a notion that the birth of Yitzchak can in some way be attributed to the Hachnasat Arachim that Avraham conducted?
Right, so that's the Ramban had mentioned to some extent in his discussion last week where he quotes the Rambam's view, or actually I think it wasn't the Rambam, the Abarbanel we mentioned last week, mentioned such an idea in a certain context. So that would certainly fit in with this discussion that the Hachnasas Orchim, the chesed of Avraham Avinu led to the birth of Yitzchak, and the survival of Yitzchak is commemorated at this place of Hachnasas Orchim. Right. So Lachari, you have to understand Vayeshev Avram Bever Sheva doesn't mean that he settled there, but sort of he tarried there. In other words, you know, he didn't kind of check in, you know, ask the rabbi to make a Mishaberach and then check out. You know, he sat there, he stayed there, he lingered there, you know, not in the sense of settling, but you're right. In other words, the it's harder to fit that into the pshat.
We probably discussed the devotion of husband to wife.
Yeah.
When he left, his wife, she knew that he said to him, Maria, right? She knew it.
Doesn't sound like she knew it, no.
Nothing.
There's no indication. In fact, that Medrash Chazal that says that she was shocked and dropped dead would seem to indicate that she was totally taken aback by what happened. Right, so the truth is, from Avraham Avinu's perspective, as far as he knows, Sarah has no idea. So he's not in a rush to get back and let her know, by the way, Yitzchak's alive, because why would we think otherwise? Again, the Medrash Chazal has the Satham coming to Sarah Imenu and telling her this story. From Avram's perspective, not being aware of the Satham, Avraham Avinu just figures that, you know, she doesn't know anything. So she doesn't know anything. I'm not in a rush to get back and, you know, explain what happened. Yeah. So then her passing has nothing to do with the Akedah, right? No, but according to that interpretation, I don't know if there's anyone who says that Sarah was aware in advance of Avraham Avinu's going.
I thought there was a man who said yeah. She died because she heard that Yitzchak was not accepted as the cause.
Right.
So she was upset that he wasn't tzaddik enough.
Right.
She didn't know about it.
No. So I think even according to that interpretation, depends how you read Rashi, but even according to that interpretation, the first she finds out about the whole story is afterwards, right? And it's the Satan who's coming to her. According to the earlier interpretation that Avraham Avinu was living in Be'er Sheva throughout the time of the Akedah, so he does go home, you know, right after the Akedah. And it's dafka this Midrashic interpretation where we have to postulate that after the Akedah, he goes from Yerushalayim to Hebron by way of Be'er Sheva, you know, in a very, very non-intuitive, you know, kind of way of going about things. So then the Ramban continues, and he says, he addresses Rabbi Rubin's question. Now, according to this interpretation, what do we do with Vayeshev Avram Biver Sheva? He came back from the Akedah to Be'er Sheva, as explained. And then he went to Hebron, which is where he lived, right? To bury Sarah. Now, after the kvura of Sarah, he leaves Hebron, goes to Be'er Sheva, which was not his address up until that point, And he lived there for a number of years afterwards. In other words, Vayeshev does mean he settled there, not like we said before. He settled there.
It was out of order.
It's out of order. Right? So in other words, the reason the Torah tells it in that particular fashion is because once we're talking about Be'er Sheva, you know, he went back to Be'er Sheva after the Akedah, and he subsequently settled in Be'er Sheva, but, you know, you should know there was just a story of Sari Meinu, you know, passing away at that particular time. So why does Avraham Avinu go back to Be'er Sheva after the Ptira of Sarah? So the Ramban, you know, doesn't say. But, you know, certainly we know that this is a not uncommon phenomena with people other than Avraham and Sarah. Avraham and Sarah live their married lives in Hebron, and Sarah passes away. And Avraham Avinu feels, for whatever reason, that it's painful for him to continue living in the same house where he lived with Sarah. Again, it's just a, perhaps an expression of the closeness they had to one another. So, I gotta move. You know, my whole life turned upside down. Sorry, Meinu passed away. I gotta move. You know, I gotta go somewhere else. And was, you know, again, the Ramban doesn't say that, but certainly it's not a hard thing to conjecture. Yeah, right. Which is, you know, he was feeling sabrachim because he was in a place that had so many memories associated with it. So Be'er Sheva was a good place for him. He had been there before, so he went back. You know, and he settled there, you know, after the Ptira of Sarah.
Oh, well, you can also say that he went back to Be'er Sheva because that's where, like, he's Megayer the Anosh. He didn't want to let his life's mission end.
Right.
His life ended.
Right. He wanted to keep going in that regard. Right.
Built tired, whatever.
Right. Well, if he died, so comes the Ramban now with what's really a third pshat. He says as follows. It would appear to me as follows: Ki hayu l'sara ohel, v'sham omed es v'am huseha lefoneha, v'chein kastuv v'ol Yaakov v'oleo v'ol shtei ha'amohos. We find that by Yaakov Avinu, it says explicitly that Yaakov had one tent, and each of the wives that he had a different tent. So in other words, the way the setup was, they lived in one city, you know, but everybody had their own tent. So Sarah also had a tent that was distinct from the tent of Avraham Avinu. And he says, "V'hine Sarah mesa ba'ohel asher lo." So Sarah Imenu passed away in her ohel. V'nichnas Avraham ba'ohel imachuzos mereyeyu lispod osa. So Avraham Avinu entered into her tent to cry for her and to eulogize her, which is to say that vayavo Avraham does not mean, as Rashi says, he came from some other place, that he came from Be'er Sheva to Hebron, but rather, Vayavo Avram, simply, he came into her tent. Right? Now, if you work with this understanding, it takes away some of the questions that we had before. In other words, why wasn't Avram Avinu in Hebron when Sarah Imenu passed away? Answer, he was. He was in the Hebron. They were living in Hebron together. All Vayavo Avraham means is that he went next door. He went to the house next door to her Oel in order to oversee, you know, what had happened and to be mastered her in that place. We're talking about an Oel. We're probably not talking about like a camping tent, you know, where you move your arm and the whole thing falls over. We're probably talking about something, you know, much, much bigger, like the equivalent of a house, you know, where each of them are living. Or alternatively, Yiyya Lashon Vayavo Lemar Shinis Orer Avram Lehetzir Hazev Hiskola Asosa. It could mean also that Vayavo, he came, is not meant in a physical sense whatsoever, but rather Vayavo just means readiness to begin a task. And he brings a number of examples of this, because the Mishnah in Talmud, you know, when it's described, you know, how the Kohanim are dealing with the different parts of the animal, it says, Bolo, Bolo, he came to. Doesn't mean he physically came over to, but in other words, he now turns his attention to. So, Vayavo Avram, the spell of the Sar of Lefkosa, could be translated, says the Rabban, very simply, he didn't even come into the tent. It just means Avram Avinu now embarked upon eulogizing Sarah.
I find it fascinating that Avraham Avinu and Sarah were such wealthy people
that they didn't ever put themselves a decent house into the tent, and that she was happy with it.
Yeah,
but probably
their tent. Their tents may have been much nicer than our houses. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know what you have to picture? You have to picture somebody makes a chasana for 2,000 people, or they make a kiddush for 2,000 people, and in their large, spacious backyard, they put up a tent. That's probably what we're talking about, the oil of Avram, the oil of Sarah, you know, that kind of tent. That's what I said before, not a teepee, you know, that he went out and I'm imagining, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, they're all, and really are you know, like the Mishkan, you know. In other words, Mishkan's also a tent, but it's something of a very, very different nature. That was what was common in those days. So he says, so that's another pshat in Vayyavo. And indeed, v'lo yitachin be'enai shabo me'ir acheres el chevro. Truth is, when you're done with all of this, says the Ramban, it doesn't make sense to me that Avraham Avinu was elsewhere, that he came to Chevron from somewhere else, from Beersheba, you know, again, like Rashi suggests. She'ilu haya kein haya maskir also amokom. V'yakosu mefarish v'yishma Avraham v'yavo mimokom ploni. It would have said something like, Avraham heard, right? Contrast this with Yisro, right? Vayishma Yisro, right? Vayavo Yisro. And as Yisro heard, and Yisro came, so Avraham Avinu also, Avraham heard that Sarah had passed away, and he came. So Vayavo Avraham just simply means, says the Ramban, either he came physically into her tent, or he embarked upon this activity. But not that he, you know, came in the geographical sense from some faraway place to the, you know, to the city of Chevron. So at the end of the day, once you embark on those interpretations, it takes a lot of the earlier questioning out. You know, why was he elsewhere? What, you know, where was he at this particular time? Again, according to the Midrashic interpretation, that after the Akedah, Sarah passed away immediately, you still have to work around the fact that Avraham Avinu goes to Beersheba right after the Akedah, and you still probably have to come on to the interpretation he gave before, that he came from, that he went back from Beersheba to Chevron. You know, Sarah died there. Again, it could be, you still say that after he came back from Beersheba to Chevron, he was in Chevron, and she passed away in Chevron while Avraham Avinu was there. That's what the Ramban is saying now. You could definitely say that. And then after Sarah passed away and was buried, so Avraham Avinu relocated to Beersheba once again, you know, as per his interpretation from before. Okay, I want to wish everyone a good Shabbos. We'll pick up Esses Hashem next week with Pashas Toldos. Rechnana ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lizakot.